And Garrick, Scott Alexander is absolutely on fire. As I understand it, Jimmy Smith requested that one. Publisher of TigerDetails.com. Oh, he requested Strings. Jimmy, how are you, man? Does that fit your liking?
Yeah, it did. It did. You know, I like some good string music. It kind of sets the tone for me, and he delivered, as always.
Jimmy, LSU coming in at 13 in the USA Today coaches poll, a preseason poll. Is that about right?
I think it's fair. I don't think it's right. I think they're better than that. I think it's fair, though, given what we saw last year on the field. There are some question marks in the roster. Who's going to be the second wide out? Is that offensive line going to be able to hold up? Things of that nature. I think it's a fair, good, smart bet for the coaches. I think ultimately this is a top 18, potentially even top 5.
Now, you know, Jimmy, you got to have luck with injuries, and you have a rotation, and you never can have too many, pass rushers, secondary running backs, whether it's by rotation. But where are we at right now? You look at John Emery and Davis Price, both average less than 50 yards per game. But then you got the freshman up-and-comers, Corey Kiner, and then Armine Godwin. Because we've already dealt with Andrew, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, Davis Price missing some practices right now. At first it was said to be exam-related. Well, now exams have passed and he's still not out of practice. So it's come out that he's got a minor injury. He's resting up. They do expect him to be ready for the season. I think ultimately this could be a rotational situation where Kevin Falk comes from a system in the NFL where they had a lot of different backs rotating, utilizing in specialty ways, and I think you could see that with this unit. Of course, you have Davis Price, the in-between-the-tackles guy. You've got the slasher in John Emery. Armani Goodwin, the freshman, can do some things out of the backfield in the passing game, a really dynamic, explosive runner. So I think you're going to see a mix between all of these guys. Wouldn't surprise me if none of them really had 200 carries this year. And you saw just, you know, three guys, 150 carries each type thing, splitting the workload by season's end.
Now, when you look at the skill set, it seems like, there's not enough position or snaps to be able to give all these potential all-stars an opportunity. Where are you at with the wide receivers? Kayshon Boutte, we all know about that, but I'm looking at whether it's Chris Hilton, Malik Nabers, Deion Smith, Brian Thomas. It goes on, even like a Coy Moore. Then you got Jahre Jenkins is a junior, Trey Palmer. Boy, that's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's like 6 or 7, 8 guys. I mean, that's one position we're not lacking depth. You would have to say wide receiver.
Yeah, and I think it's a really good blend. There's a lot of youth there, as you mentioned, the four freshmen, Nabers and Thomas and those guys that have really shown up and shown out in camp. So, I don't expect any of them to come in as redshirt candidates. I think all these guys are going to see some action this year. You have some veterans like Jahre Jenkins, Coy Moore coming in as a sophomore, a solid route runner, is going to be your starting slot receiver. And the dynamic Kayshon Boutte, who we saw tear up the second half of last year, coming in as your number one guy. I think Kayshon's going to certainly carry a lot of the workload there. I could see him having 80, 90-plus catches in this offense. Other than that, I'm not sure you're going to have a second receiver on this team with more than 40 or 45 catches. I think you're going to see a committee of guys. It's going to feel like kind of similar to a Sean Payton-type offense where you had that Colston or that Michael Thomas that had a lot of catches, and then you had three or four guys that put up 30, 45 catches each to kind of fill that second, third, and fourth role. And I think that's ultimately how you're going to see it play out. But there's a lot of talent in that group, and they're going to be able to rotate guys on and off the field at the levels of depth that not many schools around the country can really touch.
Jimmy, do you think that 13th ranking in the coaches poll from USA Today was impacted by the news of Miles Brennan and now Max Johnson being named the starter? Do you think there was a little bit of a pause, if you will?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, the old saying is if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one. But this was a unique situation where you had two that are somewhat proven. I mean, both of them played extremely well in their starts last year, right? So we saw them on the field with this team in this similar type of offense. So I think it probably played a little role, as some guys aren't as familiar or acclimated to what Max Johnson brings to the table. I mean, these coaches, you know, they like to say that they really pay attention to what everyone does, but they just simply don't. They don't have the time for it. So they don't know what Iowa State's roster generally looks like inside and out. They're kind of going off of what others are saying. Now, if you're in conference, you know it, of course, but you can't tell me that Dan Mullen knows what Iowa State's roster looks like, right? So I think when you have a news like that, and then Dare Rosenthal transferring a left tackle, not many of these guys know who he is, but they know a starting left tackle is a vital position. I think those things kind of chipped away a little bit. Eric Gilbert as well. I think if you were to put some of those guys back on this roster, you'd certainly see a top 10 ranking.
Now, you know, Jimmy, every team has strengths and they have weaknesses. Like, for instance, the Saints offensive line. I mean, I think it could pee with anyone, you know, across the board. But what is your take when you look at the LSU's defensive line and all the experience? A bunch of seniors. I mean, Andre Anthony, Neil Farrell Jr., Ali Gay, Glenn Logan. And then you talk about B.J., the sophomore. Then you got Langston, the freshman, Mason Smith, a freshman. It just seems like I'd be extremely disappointed if our defensive line does not kick ass or have an impact on a game.
Yeah, and especially in today's game, right, where it's about getting the ball downfield in the air. If you
sounds like we might have lost Jimmy. Jimmy Smith, publisher of TigerDetails.com. I know.
We got to get him back home.
Jimmy, you there?
I'm here, brother.
Yeah,
you there?
Jimmy, continue that statement when you're talking about the impact with the D-line, what they can have.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, in today's game, right, it's all about pushing the ball downfield vertically in the passing game. And really to counter that, you want to have an elite pass rush. And I think LSU has an elite pass rush. I think they're 3-4 defensive ends deep. I really think if you were to look 3-4 years ahead, you're probably going to see out of this two deep, 5-6 of these guys be drafted, right? So you've got a two deep with 5 or 6 NFL caliber linemen, at least in my opinion, rotating, getting this push. And then you've got the playmakers on the back end, like Elias Ricks, Derek Stingley, Major Burns, who's been killing it, the transfer from Georgia at the safety position, Jay Ward, who's been killing it at the safety position. And all of these guys are ball hawks with tremendous ball skills. So when you've got that pass rush, and that quarterback's got to make these pressured throws, and you've got those guys on the back end that can drive and break on these balls and have the ball skills to beat your receiver to the ball. I mean, this really sets up well for them. It wouldn't surprise me at year's end if LSU has a top-3 ranked national defense. I think they're that good. I do have some question marks at the linebacker position.
That's what I was going to ask you, Jimmy. When you bring up the linebackers, you want the best players on the field. Now, whether it's college football, the NFL, LSU, more 4-2-5, almost the entire season, to combat a spread-type offense, the nickel guy replaces that hybrid guy. However you describe it, instead of being like a three linebacker look, but two linebackers. But when you look at there's experience, and then there's guys maybe you want to take the next step. Where are you at with Baskerville now, senior? Damone Clark, I think he can still live up to expectations. And then I look at Mike Jones, sophomore. I look as strong a sophomore. So where do you think they're at? And I look at strong. And then I look at a guy like Jones, transfer from Clemson. So a lot of competition there. So you think they could pull their weight and not be the weak link or what?
Yeah, really. It really sounds like they're coming around and they're seeing some big strides taken from guys like Damone Clark and Baskerville, who's been solid when asked to get on the field in rotations throughout his career. Blake Baker has done a good job. He's a high-energy coach. He's more of a player's coach, who's going to relate to his players better. Last year, that group was coached by Pelini. They did not play well. I'm not hanging that on Pelini, but if you have issues with the team's right, not connecting with their coach, it's really going to show. And if that's the position coach, it's probably going to show more there than anywhere else. So I think with the coaching changes they've made, bringing in Mike Jones from Clemson, and I think Mike Jones comes in, brings a lot of experience to the table, and they really like what they have there. And like you said, teams live in nickel these days. Your nickel is basically your starter. These three linebacker systems, I mean, right. Unless you're running a three-man front, if you're running a four-man front, your nickel's basically a starter. So if they can get just two of those guys, and Devontae Strong's a guy that's been lighting people up at practice. If they can get him to play with a little more discipline, it sounds like he's going to bump his way into the rotation. You know, in fact, he's one of those guys they have to tell to turn it down a little bit as they're in practice. He really brings the wood. So there's a lot in that group. If that group can really show up this year and some of these guys take that next step in their development, this could be an absolutely elite defense.
Jimmy, this past weekend, a legendary LSU Tiger was enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Alan Faneca. Just talk about his time at LSU and just what another Tiger to Canton means for that program's rich history now.
And you know, Jimmy, to parlay on the Christian saying, I mean, it's unbelievable to me. You know, you look at, like, what they've accomplished. To me, how he did not get penalized or he did not get penalized or beat one-on-one pass rush. I mean, like the pass protect. Mm-hmm. I mean, unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, Faneca was a monster for an extended period of time, too, right? I mean, this guy was consistently good, barely missed any games in his career. And like you said, was dominant in the running game, but could also handle pass rushers. And during that era, I mean, during his era of playing, those were the days where you had the Leroy Glovers, the Warren Saps.
Warren Saps, yeah.
Right. You had these quick three techniques that were really disruptive, and he did wonders, you know, for that Steelers offense for a long period of time. And really, if you go look at some of the, I think Andrew Whitworth's another one that we could see get mentioned as a possible Hall of Fame candidate later in his career, for things he's done both on and off the field as a player rep and so on. You know, and then you look at guys like Kevin Mawai. I mean, the LSU isn't known for producing this boatload of great, tremendous offensive linemen. But if you look through the history, at least recent history, the last 30 years or so, there's some really good football players in there. And really happy to see Faneca. He was just a tremendous player and one of the best guards to ever play the game.
Now, you know, Jimmy, when I look at we've talked about D and offensive line, you know, going into training camp, different skill positions. But what is your take where we at right now with the tight end? I'm looking at, like, with Jack Besh, with the freshman. He's only listed at 215 pounds. But Coach O said he obviously could bulk up to play the position. He should give Cole Taylor the hard push for the starting job. So is that kind of – maybe we can upgrade that or what? Because – you know, when you think you've addressed the tight end position, and then you might say, well, not so fast, transfers and all that. We all know what occurred there. But how do you view the tight end position for the 2021 season?
Yeah, and this is one of the bigger question marks on the roster, Bobby. You know, with Eric Gilbert transferring, they were already thin at the position.
Right.
Right. They like what Cole Taylor can do, 6'7". They think he can bring something and develop into a good tight end. I'm not sure they expected him to really be starter caliber at this stage of his career. Wouldn't surprise me to even see a walk-on like Jack Mashburn, former St. Paul's standout, did a little bit of everything, receiver, quarterback, right, and everything at St. Paul's. He's been getting a lot of snaps with the second-string unit, which means he's going to be a rotational guy at that tight end position at times. And then you have a guy like Jack Besh, who I saw extensively throughout last spring. And 7-on-7, I mean, just a physical monster. He's listed at 215, but if he's built the way he's built through his broad chest and shoulders and his back, he really looks bigger than this. I mean, he's a really well-put-together kid. If you tell me Jack needs to be 235 by the season, I promise you he's going to eat enough eggs and drink enough protein shakes to get to 235 by the season. So, and he could definitely bring something as a flex tight end, you know. Hate to use this name, but an Aaron Hernandez type, you know, without all the crazy stuff.
Right.
But just that type of player, possibly at that flex tight end position, that moves and plays like a receiver, but is listed as a tight end.
Jimmy Smith, publisher of TigerDetails.com. And Jimmy, how did the Bootleggers do this year, 7-on-7?
Up and down season. Up and down season for the Bootleggers this year. Kind of a crazy year coming out of COVID. Team didn't seem to get to practice as much as normal, and guys in and out of traveling. So not their typical type of year. Very successful for the individuals, though, as they put themselves on the platform to improve their recruitment. So a lot of positives happened there, and a lot of big-time talent. The rankings came out on Rivals today, and it looks like they have five guys in the top 75 players in the country returning next year for that Bootleggers team. So they should be loaded and ready to go next year.
Jimmy, just paint the picture opposed how different the offense will look with Max Johnson opposed to Miles Brennan.
Yeah, it's going to look quite different. Not just the fact that a lefty and a righty is a big difference. It really is. Your blind side changes, your blocking assignments change, right? The way you slide protections now. And it's a different spinning ball coming to those wide receivers. So just that alone is going to be quite different for these guys. And I think it actually is helpful them knowing which way they're going into the fall. Now they can work on those things. But also now he's a more dynamic runner. I think they really want to run a lot of RPO. And if you have the ability as a quarterback to pull it in those RPOs and run, now that's the element that really makes it impossible for a defense to match up against and be able to game plan on. So I think he's definitely a better fit for this type of offense. Might not be as dynamic of a passer at this stage in his career, but certainly showed enough last year to make me think he'll be more than adequate in that department and should be a really good fit for Jake Pease in this offense.
Now, Jimmy, to go to special teams, it's a third of football, offense, defense, special teams. But, to me, I look at Cade York, where he's at most preseason All-American teams. Look, we all remember, this is LSU history. It's in the fog. You can't even follow the ball. What, 57-yard field goal against Florida. Are you kidding me? I mean, what occurred there. But the one thing that people – don't necessarily recognize, I know Coach O does, or any special teams unit, about Avery Adkins. I didn't realize this, but when he's kicking off the ball, the best kickoff coverage is kick it out of the end zone, or kick it and then I can return. Him being the kickoff specialist, 86% of his kicks have gone for touchbacks. But I think that's a weapon in itself.
That is. And I tell you, there's some hidden, pluses and advantages to that. There's a lot of injuries that happen on kick coverage. Right. And so when you've got 86% of these balls going out of the back of the end zone, that's a lot of collisions saved for your linebackers and your defensive backs and these guys that are contributing on special teams. So and then, of course, you avoid the opportunity for any dynamic returns. One of the quickest ways to steal momentum in a game is through a return. You usually this is following a score or the beginning of a half, and so you can really flip the momentum of the game when the return, when you're basically removing that with a guy like Atkins. And then you have Cade York, a kicker. They have the number one punter in the country coming in, and Peyton Todd. LSU continues to really recruit well and put an emphasis on those things. And one thing we never mentioned are the long snappers. LSU's had a long run of really good long snappers, a lot of them in the NFL today. I think this is carried over from the Les Miles era.
Coming from Buford High School. I mean, right there in Georgia. Yeah, I know about Buford.
Brothers. Yeah, I know you do know a little bit about Buford. It's really just a great special teams unit, one of the best coaches in the country at the position as well. So definitely an advantage for the Tigers going into most ball games.
Jimmy Smith, publisher of TigerDetails.com. What's on the site, man?
All of this good stuff, man. Just breaking down today, latest analysis by Jarrett Roser, who was out at practice, breaking down who was there, who wasn't, how some of these guys looked in these drills, and the energy of the coaches. So your daily coverage of everything LSU practice. We've got videos and everything on the site.
Jimmy, always a pleasure, man. Thank you.
Take care, guys.
Thanks, Jimmy. Jimmy, I'm waiting for a road trip when you came with Christian and I to go to Biloxi. Remember that, Christian? And we'll go and we'll hang out Beau Rivage and all that, and Jimmy be a part of that. Well, we had great conversations in the car.
So. We certainly did. Jimmy's gone. I can't ask him, Scott.
Oh, okay.
He already hung up. Anyway,
damn.
All right. When we come back, by the way, who is this again? Lumineers. Yeah, this is one of Jimmy's favorites. When we come back, Trevor Siemian, he sat down with me and Bobby, Saints quarterback. That's next here
Talk
on Sports
Talk.
Talk
about a good dude.
He is.
The Saints got awesome dudes at quarterback.
This is Saints Radio, WWL.